Welcome back to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Clifford Garstang has volunteered with the Peace Corps in South Korea, practiced international law in Singapore, Chicago, and Los Angeles, and worked with the World Bank in Washington, D.C. as senior counsel for East Asia. Garstang is also an author. He now resides in Stanton, Virginia, and his most recent book is titled What the Zhang Boys Know. The novel in stories tells of the intersecting lives of a group of tenants living in a condominium building near Washington, D.C.'s Chinatown. In 2013, the book received the Library of Virginia Literary Award for Fiction. Cliff sat down recently with associate producer Bethany Chafin.
Did you find that the idea of a novel in stories was somewhat parallel to the idea of these different apartments within a condominium? That they're kind of these separate compartments that then together make something larger than themselves?
I definitely think that's right. I mean, that's one reason why I chose that setting, was because it fit really well in the form that I wanted to use. I used to live in a condo building in Washington that's pretty similar to the one that I describe in the book, so it was pretty easy for me to think, as I'm standing in the middle of the building looking at all the doors that open into all of these different lives, it was easy to imagine the people and the stories that were behind those doors.
Some of the stories are written from different points of view, some first person, some not. How did you decide how you would approach that? Or did a character sort of lend a feeling where you sort of knew, oh, I need to write this from first person?
When I imagined the character, it was just how I felt about that particular character, whether I wanted to really inhabit as if I were the character or if I wanted to do it in third person and describe what the character was doing. I think it was just an instinct when I came to each particular character.
So it seems that you're very influenced or interested in the life of an artist, and I wonder if you could speak to that a little bit.
I am. I think I'm probably a frustrated artist. I've never actually taken up the brush, but I admire people I know who do. Where I live here in Stanton, we have a big visual arts community, lots of art galleries, and I like to see the work of those artists. And also, I've been several times to the Virginia Center for the Creative Arts, which is a wonderful artist's residency center. And usually when I'm there, there are as many visual artists as there are writers. So I kind of get to see them in the creative mode, and it's very inspirational. I think writers can actually learn a lot by watching painters work.
Could you tell me a little bit more about the Zhang family? And I know you've said that their story sort of provides the arc, and they obviously bookend this collection. You know, how did you come up with this family? Did the two young boys who seemed to influence everyone in the building, did they come first, or did their father?
The father and the idea of the different ways that people experience loss. And the reason the father came to me is at the time I was still doing a lot of consulting work for the World Bank, and one of my areas was China. So I was going to China a lot. And the fact is that the condo building where I used to live was near Chinatown in Washington, D.C. And on one of my trips to China, I was working in the city of Nanjing and was touched by the memorial to the Nanjing massacre, the victims of the massacre. And so all of those things came together, and I thought that I wanted to write about a man who was from China and who had some connection to Nanjing. And I wanted to figure out what sort of loss that he was feeling, and the obvious choice for me was the loss of his wife, and then what are the consequences of that. And I added the boys because that sort of raises the stakes for him. Not only is he feeling this loss, but now he has this challenge that he has to take care of his boys after the death of his wife.
If someone is to write about a place that perhaps is not where they're from, do you have any tips for, you know, just ways of absorbing detail and, you know, taking in your surroundings and then communicating that to the reader? Is it easier to write about a place that maybe is unfamiliar, or?
That's a really good question, and it's something that I talk about when I teach, especially when we're talking about setting and description and imagery. I've found that sometimes when a place is too familiar, it's difficult to write about because we assume that the readers have the same view of a place that we do. If we know it too well, we get lazy. One of my stories was set in a coffee shop. Okay, that's not a very exciting location, but I went to a workshop and the teacher, a famous writer, said, "I think you haven't really imagined this coffee shop very well. The reader can't see it." He was actually wrong, and he admitted later that he was wrong. The problem was that I knew it too well and had gotten lazy in trying to describe it to the reader. So sometimes I think that if we go to someplace new or if we are imagining someplace that we haven't seen before, we notice details that are special and we notice things that we can use to help show the reader what we're looking at. So sometimes it's even better to be unfamiliar with the place.
Clifford Garstang spoke with associate producer Bethany Chafin. Cliff's the author of In an Uncharted Country and What the Zhang Boys Know. Both are published by Winston-Salem-based Press 53. Cliff's currently working on editing and curating an anthology titled Everywhere Stories, a collection of short stories by various authors set in different countries around the world. He also serves as editor-in-chief of Prime Number Literary Magazine. For more information and a link to Cliff's blog, visit our website, wfdd.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, time to put down our ink quill and take up our printmaking tools. In 2003, Mona Wu was voted Winston-Salem Artist of the Year. On Saturday, March 8th, from 10 to 5 at the Senior Services Center in Winston-Salem, Mona, along with more than 40 of her well-known Piedmont area artist colleagues, will contribute up to 12 pieces of art each to the Senior Services Art Show and Sale. The sale supports Meals on Wheels, and it'll feature a variety of mediums, including pastels, jewelry, fused glass, pottery, oil paintings, textiles, wood, and baskets. A native of China, Mona studied Chinese painting and calligraphy in Hong Kong before coming to the United States in 1971 and moving to Winston-Salem in 1974. In the 1980s, Mona taught Chinese brushstroke painting classes at the Sawtooth School for Visual Art. And in 96, Mona received her BA in Art History from Salem College. She's been studying printmaking at Wake Forest University practically ever since, and she incorporates her painting, calligraphy, and printmaking into her collage work as well. The leap from pure calligraphy and Chinese brushstroke painting into printmaking, in the late 90s, why did you gravitate in that direction? What captured your imagination there?
It goes back to when I went back to school at Salem College. I was fortunate to enroll in a printmaking class from Kim Varnado, who is still the art professor at Salem. And after one class, I knew that that is my calling.
What happened in that class?
What happened, she is such a wonderful teacher. She introduced us to the basic printmaking techniques, etching, woodcut, aquatint, everything. Printmaking is so technically oriented. And I'm not a technical person, but I like the innovation of it and I like the variation of it, the variable of it, because unlike painting, you put the brush on the paper or on the canvas, you see what you're doing. Printmaking has more steps. You say, even though you make a mark on a plate, you don't know what is going to happen because you have to ink it. You have to put that on the press. You have to print it out. And it's mirror image. It's totally reverse, the image. You may ink it not right. That step is a variable. The paper is a variable because paper acts differently. The pressure on the press is a variable. You may be light, you may be heavy. The ink that you use is a variable. You know how you mix the ink. So there are so many different variables and you have to really accept. You have to, along the way, you need to accept the accident. You need to accept the result that may not be what you want. And that's a challenge.
Talk me through your process. For the listener who knows nothing about printmaking, and let's start with, I think, woodcut would be the easiest.
Say, you know, I have a piece of wood. You know, I use plywood with the veneer, the surface of the veneer of a different wood grains like cherry, mahogany, birch, something like that. And then you work out a composition. And sometimes you look at the grain and I said, well, I can use it. That looks like mountains. I had one piece that, because the wood grain sort of remind me of the peak and valleys of the mountains scene, then you either draw on the wood board directly or you work out a composition and then you trace your composition onto the wood board using carbon paper or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you started cutting using special wood cutting tools. And so you cut away whatever you do not want the color. And say you cut away all the things that you don't want and then you have the image that is raised on the board. And you ink the surface. You apply the ink with a roller and then you put the paper onto the wood board. And then you either hand rub it with a wooden spoon or you go through the press using pressure.
One of the techniques that you do so well, Mona, that I enjoyed very much was this ghost imaging. It almost gives a double exposure technique. How does that work?
Paper pick up, you know, certain amount of ink from the board. There are still residual ink on the board. And oftentimes, we would put another piece of paper over it, then pick up the rest of the ink. That's what we call the ghost print.
The collage aspect of your art, you incorporate some of that. We alluded to it earlier with printing, but physical collages span the extremes as well, from black and white
kind of earth tone images
that are very symmetrical to your homage to Matisse, for example, which is exploding with colors and different objects.
Collage is sort of happened a little accidentally for me because I have all these prints that are not good enough to make into editions. For my calligraphy, I practice calligraphy often, but then what do I do with all these writings? I make a marriage out of them. My calligraphy, my Chinese painting, my prints, and then I'll just put them together. But mostly it's texture and color. And it also is a very personal style for me too, because nobody has my calligraphy.
Winston-Salem artist Mona Wu. On Saturday, March 8th from 10 to 5 at the Senior Services Center in Winston-Salem, Mona, along with more than 40 of her well-known Piedmont area artist colleagues, will contribute up to 12 pieces of art each to the Senior Services Art Show and sale. It's free and open to the public, and it'll feature a wide variety of mediums, including Mona's fine prints. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Mona's current show is at Willow's Bistro, and it'll remain on display there through March 22nd. She has a solo show scheduled to open at Artworks Gallery on Trade Street in May. Her 10-year retrospective exhibition reception is May 3rd from 2 to 5. Well, that's all for today's show. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia, our associate producer is Bethany Chafin, and our intern is Andre Wallace. You'll find links, photos, and video clips of the artists on our website, WFDD.org. Click on Triad Arts Weekend, and you'll also find podcasts and archived episodes. Check in with us on Facebook and Twitter now and again, and you can always email us with your questions and comments. It's triadarts@wfu.edu. For 88.5 WFDD, I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.